think you were missing one of your colleagues down there, was not around last week in the meeting. Welcome back. Now that Honorable Issa has landed, we can start.
From Bern.
I'm sure we'll get the briefing. We do have an apology for the Sec Dev and the Minister. We know we are behind with this issue of the fourth quarter performance report. I'll subject it to you, honorable members, whether we start with number two or number three. I know they go into us in that sequence, whether they should just go through just briefly on the fourth quarter and then simultaneously go to the first quarter of this financial year. Do we agree that they'll just do both, just an introduction of the fourth quarter highlights and then we go to the presentation of the first quarter? Acting DG, over to you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues. We are going to have the report of the highlights of the fourth quarter and the first quarter of this financial year, and that will be presented by Mr. Ramkele. Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, I'm asked to introduce the delegation, and I will start by myself. My name is Nontobe Komaku. I'm the DDG Economic and Empowerment Stakeholder. And I will let the other people.
And you are also acting DDG.
Yes, I'm the acting DDG. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, members, my name is Lydia Miso. I'm the Director Internal Audit and the GMP. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, my name is Alex Mahab, the Deputy Director General for Socioeconomic Support.
Morning, Chair, members, Lefeli Mage, Deputy Director General of Corporate Services in the GMP.
My name is Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues, Mbulelo Mwesi, Head of Communications Department.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members, my name is Sibong Semi Dovo. I'm the CFO of the department. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Smakali Mwatidi, Director in the Office of the DG. Thank you.
Now, if you... That one is a non-conflict.
Good morning, Chair and Members. Peter Ngati, the Parliamentary Lady of the Minister of Defense and Interpreter.
Honorable Chairperson.
Just before you continue, is that at least this time around we've had only one acting. It's unlike before when we would hear about three or four people acting. So, which means there is good progress. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Moses Ramfele, responsible for planning in the department, and I'm going to take you through the presentation on the performance of the department, especially the fourth quarter. Let me say, as indicated, Honorable Chairperson, it is a preliminary report about the quarter that ended at the end of the financial year, and the validated one in terms of the processes of reporting, the validated one with all information correct, it is in the annual report, because that is where now we are validating after we have presented a preliminary report. in terms of this report, I'll just highlight the presentation layout is as follows. I'll just highlight the key things in terms of the overall performance of the department at the end of the fourth quarter, and then also indicate the human resource in the department as at the 1st of March 2016. And then the financial part, as we said, is the preliminary. The audited one is in the annual report that will be tabled as time goes on. In terms of the aim of the presentation, I think it is quite evident and very clear. And then the mandate of the department, and also the structures in the, the program, the sub-programs in the department. This is what is composed of the department. And then this slide speaks about the legend. Remember, we are indicating whether we have done well or not good or totally not, as indicated in the slides that follow after this. Now, this one is an overall performance to say for 2015-16 we had 20. We planned for 20 targets. We achieved 9, and then 11 were not achieved. And then we are going to break it down in terms of program 1, how many program 2, how many program 3, how many, because this is all the programs. And you can see that it is almost 45%. Now, in the APP, we have got what we call the selected performance indicators that are aligned to the E&E. Now, this is the summary, although they will fall in terms of the program. They say program 1, which one belongs, program 2, which one belongs to that, and program 3, as they follow each other. So I won't dwell much on this one because it comes to the slide where we'll explain what happened to, because it is only centered around the two service delivery programs, program 2 and program 3. Now, in terms of program 1, administration, the overall one, it said it is about 20 targets. But for administration, we had 10 targets. We plan to achieve all of them at the end of the financial year. Unfortunately, we achieved 6, and then 4 were not achieved. Now, I will only focus on the one that were not achieved, what happened, if you agree with me, Honorable Chairperson. The one that you have, that are in green, it means you have achieved them. We did not achieve the following PPI program performance indicator number 106 about the MS implementation, that it was not achieved because it was on a developmental stage, although the aim was that at the end of the financial year you should have approved it, and then we also have develop reports in terms of what we have planned according to the IT section, because it falls under ICT section. And then we have got also the performance agreements for senior managers, as indicated there. We are supposed to be at 100%, but at the end of the fourth quarter, we did not achieve that. And then in the annual report, we have indicated the reasons why, because now it is a validated report to say why didn't all members submit their reports. And then the question of the PPI 109 about the starting of the vacant funded post, which there is a slide about HR to say why are we not filling in this post. We have indicated there as it is still a bit of a challenge, and then I'm going to talk about that information when we go to that slide. And then the PPI 110 that speaks about settling of outstanding payments or payment of invoices within 30 days. I think previously we did indicate to the honourable members that we are trying our level best, because when you service the, when you get information from the service providers, you expect to be complete. But unfortunately, during that period, you find that there are things that are missing that cannot make you to pay for that, which is still a challenge as we go forward. Now, under Program 2, says socioeconomic support, we plan to achieve 5 targets. Unfortunately, we achieved 2, and then we could not achieve 3. I mean, to say 3 were not achieved, yes. Now, these are the 3 indicators that we did not achieve. About, you know, the information that we kept in terms of the database of the military veterans, we still have a challenge on that. And then the question of the housing, which is a thorn in the flesh also, but in terms of the first quarter, we will indicate what have we done, because we know that we depend on DHS, but at the same time, there are steps that have been taken to address it. And the last one is about the transport for the military veterans. That has not been achieved, and there is a draft policy that has been circulated, which, remember, you can't just implement something that has not been approved. So, in terms of the policy, so there is still discussion to that effect. And then Program 3, Economic and Stakeholder Management, Empowerment and Stakeholder Management. Also, we targeted about 5. There are about 5 targets that we planned for, and we achieved only 1. 4 were not achieved. What happened here is the PBI 302 on the strategic initiative, because this one, in terms of the arrangement, is that it's a continuous engagement with DERCO, because they are the one who have got all the necessary powers to enable departments to enter into this, so that we can make military veterans to benefit out of that. And then 304, in terms of the cooperatives, there was that plan, but unfortunately towards the end of the financial year, only 32 were awaiting registration for the military veterans, not as 40 as we have planned. So as a result, we did not achieve that. And then the memorial sites, as we said, this was a preliminary. When we enter into a validated one, we found that this was achieved. If you check in the annual report that will be tabled, to say, by then there was some information that we got later to say the 2 memorial sites that were planned for were achieved. So in this case, as I indicated earlier, it was still a preliminary report. And then in terms of the HR that I spoke about, of not filling in the post, if you check, I think it's column number 7, that tells you about that at the end of the financial year we had about 133, and the other information is explained in the following slide about what happened with this. If you check the first bullet, which we usually say that the structure of the department is the top heavy, and there are plans and steps taken to address this. So there were some steps that were taken in terms of collapsing some of this the top heavy to make it an operational post, and others were also made, if you check bullet number 4. But we are saying that this was a temporary measure, as the discussion with the DPSA in terms of having a validated or an approved structure, so that the operational part that we usually indicate to the members that we don't have you know, the foot soldiers, so that we can address this, so that we can be able to service the military veterans in different provinces. Now, the next slide is about the, in terms of the gender equity, to say out of the 137 in the department, how many African colored rights so that we meet the requirements of the EE, the Employment Equity. It is indicated there. And then in terms of the finance, the financial part, by then it was like this is what happened. That is why, Honorable Chairperson, I don't want us to dwell much on this, because in the tabled annual report that is validated, it has got the full information of how did we perform as a department. With these words for this, thank you very much.
I thought we'd continue to our first quarter so that you see the improvement and just ask on that. Otherwise, we're going to ask here and then we'll go to the first quarter when the things have changed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and colleagues. Now, for 2016-17, this is the preliminary performance of the department. What we have done this time, not as the usual presentation to follow, is that we are going to highlight, especially from bullet three, the financial performance in terms of the first quarter, and then the summary of the financial, the mitigating action, and also indicate the key benefits. Usually we will present but not focus much on the key benefits. So this time we have outlined it in such a way that it will be user-friendly to all of us, and then from there we come to the quarterly performance now in terms of program one, program two, and also the HR, and then it will be the end of the presentation.
Honorable Chair, can we allow a CFO to take us through the financials?
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I would like to take you through the financial performance for quarter one for the department. The department had a projected spend for quarter one of 135.2 million. The department has spent 91.2 million versus the target, the projected spend of 135.2 million. In the later slides, actually, I will take you through the actual delivery mainly on key benefits, as well as take the members to the overall performance by each program. The second bullet point, basically, we just want to highlight in terms of what we have actually rolled out as a department in terms of service delivery. We have rolled out what you call a social relief of distress. This is where we have identified military veterans who are financially distressed. So what the department does is we give them a subsidy of 1,200 rand per month based on the circumstances. So it's not permanent, but it says we will grant you 1,200 until your social condition changes. In addition to that, we have provided burial support to military veterans. Also, we have provided education support, health and wellness, as well as we have started plans in terms of delivering on housing in totality. But at the later slide, I will just take you on the initiatives that we have undertaken in terms of addressing housing in general. A technical team on housing was formed. It consists of both DMV as well as DHS. This technical team is basically there. It was mandated by the accounting officers, which is led by the DDGs from both departments. So this technical team is there to try and alleviate the current barriers that we have on housing, as well as ensure and fast track housing delivery. As indicated, I wanted to take the members through the mitigating actions that the department has undertaken in terms of fast-tracking service delivery in general. Amongst other things, we are busy finalizing an SLA with our sister organization who is AMSCO. The aim of this service level agreement is to assist the department in terms of not only become dependent on DHS, but also come with other creative ways of fast-tracking delivery on housing. As indicated before in the previous slide, we have a target of 1,000 housing to deliver. However, this housing delivery is currently mainly dependent, 100% dependent on DHS, because the department is not mandated to build. We are mandated to just use DHS in terms of service delivery. But what we have done is, in terms of not being 100% dependent on DHS, the department has now engaged with AMSCO. The engagement with AMSCO is aimed at assisting the department in terms of not only using DHS, but also using AMSCO and identifying other service delivery agents in terms of building housing. So we hope that this will also assist the department in terms of fast-tracking the provisioning of housing. But in addition to that, we have reprioritized within housing. It's not only about building new housing, also it's about renovating houses which are in a dilapidated state, as well as we are doing a lot in terms of rescuing bonds which are under distress. So this is a vehicle that we will use should the department encounter barriers in terms of direct delivery. So we will use AMSCO as an implementing agent. In addition to the service level agreement with AMSCO, we have engaged with EduLoan. As you may understand, we've got a target on bursaries of more than 4,500, but the number has since increased to about 5,700 bursary holders. So the volume of work has substantially increased, putting the department under a lot of stress in terms of resources. So we believe using a delivery agent like EduLoan will help us to fast-track the process of paying invoices. As the honorable members may remember, last year we had a huge outcry from the military veterans, where their kids were being expelled from institutions due to non-payment of invoices. So we hope this arrangement with EduLoan will eliminate that element. In addition, I would just like to remind the members in terms of social relief of distress, which we will always refer to as SRD, to say for quarter one, we have paid 1,473 beneficiaries since this was implemented from May of 2016. The targeted number was 1,811 beneficiaries, but we have seen a huge increase in terms of the numbers now, which may easily go up in as far as 3,000 people applying for these benefits. So we will consider in terms of the availability of budget, because it will put a strain in terms of the budget. But we are saying we will not push people away, but we will reprioritize our funds. So this slide basically takes us, this is basically a quick overview in terms of delivery against each key benefit. Our key benefits are located in Program 1, in Program 2 and Program 3. Program 2 being socio-economic support services, and Program 3 being empowerment and stakeholder management. Starting with Program 2, the key benefits located within Program 2 are mainly the compensation for injuries with a budget of $5.6 million. We also are mandated to facilitate the military veteran pensions. We currently have a budget of $25.6 million. Social relief of distress, which we always refer to as SRD, we've got a budget of $16.8 million. Education support, $26.4 million. Health support, we've got a budget of $50 million allocated. Housing support, we've got a budget of $138 million. So the total budget is $262 million. Against the budget of $262 million, the actual payment was $35.9 million. The payment is mainly on education support, social relief of distress, some payment on healthcare support. As much as you can see, we've got only $2.7 million against healthcare, but we have already validated invoices to the value of $29 million, which are now being processed. Under housing, we have spent $7.4 million. The $7.4 million is mainly spent on a project which is happening in the Eastern Cape, which is the Chetty project, which is aimed at building about 68 housings for military veterans. The balance has been spent mainly on rescuing bonds which are under distress. So we've had a lot of requests to rescue bonds for military veterans. So we have honored the majority of those requests. So in total, we had a target of 23% as per the National Treasury allocation. We have spent 14% of that budget for quarter one. But as indicated earlier in the previous slide, there are means and ways to fast track the payment process. For program three, basically the key benefits is mainly skills development as well as burial support. As you can see, burial support is already indicated as an area of concern where the spend as at the end of quarter one was already at $2.6 million. This is mainly driven by the retrospective payments against a budget of $4.9 million. So there are plans to shift the funds around to alleviate the budget concerns. Under skills development, you can only see that we've only spent $2.9 million, but this was mainly due to the fact that some of the projects for skills development were in the planning phase in quarter one. Execution will start in quarter two. So when we come back to present quarter two results, you may see progress. So basically, those are the key highlights in terms of delivery against key benefits. This slide mainly takes us through the spend. It's mainly the spend by programs. The key highlights on this slide is mainly to say on administration, total budget for the year is $143.7 million. We have an actual spend of $27 million against a projected spend of $32.5 million, which is mainly 85% of the projection. So against the projection of a 23% for the quarter, we had only a deviation of 4%. For program two, the total budget for the year is 294 million. The projected spend for program 2 is 66.5. The actual spend was 41.7, which constitutes 63% of the projected spend, and overall spend for full year is at 14%, which is has a variance of 9% against the target of 23%. Likewise for ESM, the total budget is 159.8, with the actual spend of 21.9 against a projected spend of 36.2 million, which is at a 61% spend against the projected spend. So overall, the budget for the department is 197 million, with an actual spend of 91.2, versus a budget of projected spend of 135.2. So as indicated, the plans are in place in terms of delivery against key benefits. So when we come back to deliver quarter two, we will be able to indicate the progress made then. This is purely the spend against economic by economic classification. The total budget for compensation of employees is 102.7 million. We have a projected spend for quarter one of 26.4. The actual spend is 21.2, which is sitting at 80% of the projected spend for the quarter. But against a targeted spend of 23% for the first quarter, as per the National Treasury allocation, we were sitting at 26%, giving us an adverse variance of 3%. Goods and services, a total budget of 244.8 million with a projected spend of 56 and an actual spend of 26.9 with a variance of 12% overall versus a targeted spend. And likewise for transfers and subsidies. If I may just highlight, the key benefits are mainly located in transfers and subsidies, and some benefits being classified as part of goods and services. But as you can see, 243.6 million is under subsidies is mainly directed towards delivery of benefits. CapEx, a total budget for the year of 6.5 million and actual spend of 1.5 versus a projected spend of 1.4. This is mainly driven by the fact that some of the CAPEX requirements in order to assist employees to deliver services were required, and there were urgent purchases that had to be done. So hence, the department tracking more or less in line with the projected spend, mostly with an adverse variance of 1% versus the projected spend. So basically, honorable members, chair, these are the main highlights in terms of financial performance for the department.
Thank you, honorable chairperson and honorable members. We continue with the information on performance for the first quarter. The very same statement that I uttered earlier on to say, as at the 30th of June, when we were conducting this preliminary report, this is how the department performed. And after the 30th of June, there will be a process of validation of all the information that was given, so that a validated report, as we submit the second quarter, it goes together with the second quarter for the validation of the first quarter. So after submission of this, there were things that were done in terms of
addressing the gaps that were identified. So I'm just saying this to honorable members so that they should be aware of that effect. Now, this is the overview or the overall performance of our department for the first quarter. We are saying for 16-17, administration planned 12 targets. They achieved 9, it makes that percent. SES, they planned for 4, and they achieved 2. And then ESM, they planned for 5, they achieved 3. All in all is 7.7% for the overall performance of the department in the first quarter. Now, this is for administration. It's just a deduction of the previous slides in terms of how Program 1 performed. And in terms of, there's a bullet there that speaks about the finance. I think that one I won't reiterate it because the CFO has indicated how Program 1 performed. And then in terms of performance indicators, I will just highlight, if you remember, in the previous quarter 4 of the other financial year, if you go to this slide, you go to PPI 108. We spoke about the MSP that was not done, but this year, as you can see, the first reports were developed for the first quarter, so already we have now achieved what we indicated earlier on. And then also, if you check on PPI 110, the performance agreement, which is also something that I think there was a directive given, so we believe that in the second quarter we'll be able to report that it is now 100%, no longer 74, because initially in the previous day it was 30, this time it's 74, but there's a directive given by the acting DG to say by the end of this, during this validation period, it must be 100% and not less than 100%. And then the last one is PPI 112 about the legitimate invoice payment. That is a requirement in terms of FOSAT. The challenge there to get a 90%, as we want to make sure that even small businesses are paid within 30 days, is that as CFO, I think he has alluded it earlier on to say, the challenge that we had during the first quarter was about the travel agent, and then I believe going forward this has been addressed to say all invoices will be paid within 30 days as required by the law. Program 2. We are saying it targeted 4 indicators. We achieved 2, we did not achieve 2, it makes 50%. And also, I would like to indicate on PPI 202 about housing. I think when the CFO indicated earlier on to say what is happening with housing in terms of the SLA that we are busy with AMSCO, we'll be able to address that. I won't repeat what he said. And then if you go to PPI 205 about the counseling for the military veterans that we did not achieve what we have planned, and then the main challenge there, I believe the DDG will be able to expatiate more about the absence of the medical assessment panel for them to validate all the application in terms of assisting the military veterans. So there is a process of addressing that so that by the second quarter, as we do it quarterly, we'll be able to report on the progress made to that effect. Program 3, as indicated with the other programs, they plan for 5, they achieved 3, and then 2 were not achieved. And at the end of the day, it was around 60%. Now, if you check PPI 301, it was not achieved, but there is this process that is undergoing in terms of the MOUs and the SLA to say once they are done, we'll be able to address that effect. to make sure that it is achieved as planned. And PPI 304, also the challenge of the continuous engagement with DERCO also is upholding us to go forward in terms of addressing this, but the information that we received is that there is a progress that has been made, so that when we set an indicator, we're able to can address it as we have planned. And then if you go to slide number, the following slide about HR, the same information of the first quarter, that as at the 30th of June, the permanent is about 133. And then the explanation that we can give is on the following slide. I just want to highlight two bullets there. Bullet number three, that speaks about the administrative post at provincial offices, because due to lack of office accommodation, because that is where our footprint as PMV is to be seen by all. So there is a process, as you have said earlier on, that there is a discussion in terms of the structure, so that at the end the offices are fully functional in an ideal way. And then the last bullet, that we are still continuing with the discussion with the DPSA to make sure that the structure is well informed and it addresses all the operational issues of the department. And with this words, thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Chair, if we are allowed, can we have a program managers adding where necessary? Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair. I think after the presentation, there were critical issues that need to be addressed. I think for us, it will be valuable that maybe the members can raise those issues, and then so that we can answer. Unlike maybe, you know, preempting what they are going to ask, and then we start to explain beforehand. Thank you.
Okay, I take it as a view. Let's go to questions. Honorable Nancy. Honorable Lisa after that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the presentation. Chairperson, under problem one, that is administration, on slide 12, the issue of signed performance agreements submitted has a target of 100% and only 30% was achieved in the financial year 2013 and 2014, also in the financial year 2014-15 again 30% was achieved. I think Chairperson, the department needs to give us a proper explanation as to what is happening, what is the challenge there. Then under program 2, Chairperson, I think as a committee we should get a clear indication from the department about the challenges to deliver access to public transport for military veterans, as there has been no movement on this target for the last 3 years. Is there any intervention made that is required from the committee? Because we wanted a meeting with different stakeholders under one roof. So, what is happening? Then under program 3, regarding the number of military veteran cooperatives established, only 32 out of 40 are said to be waiting to be registered. Why there is registration of co-ops are being outsourced? If you can get explanation from the department about that. Then, around the expenditure
support for military veteran Chairperson. We've noticed that there are positive developments. The DMV has put in place several measures, notably through AMSCO and Steady Loan, to increase recruitment on targets. We really commend the department for that. Then, Chairperson, on slide 7, under compensation for injuries, 0% spent, we can notice that there is a risk on that budget. What measures are in place to rescue that situation? Also, Chairperson, under burial support, on slide 7, there is an indication of a serious problem there. What measures are in place to correct that situation? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I just want to make some general remarks and then also some specific ones, Honorable Chair. One is that this department continues to underperform. And there's a ministerial task team that had to give a report to us already to address all the shortcomings within the department. We have not received the report. It was scheduled a few times. And our committee did not receive any delegation of that ministerial committee to address us on developments or changes that have happened in this department. So this department continues to perform mediocrely. It is not up to scratch. And we know that, of course, it's top heavy, which means there are too many senior people. Maybe there are too many chiefs and too few Indians, people to do the actual work. So I think we've got too many generals here and too few soldiers on the ground to do the work. And if we make a change from the top heavy position to the more operational managers and middle management positions, how does it impact on those individuals that are already in the employ of the department? Are they still going to be paid the same salary? Or how is that going to be renegotiated that they earn less because they're at the lower salary level? I don't hear anything. It's top heavy, yes. How do we deal with it? How are we going to cost us to keep people at the lower position doing less work and still pay them a high salary? That's the one. The other one is, of course, the benefits I see that's being rolled out. It's a serious indictment on this department that they are spending 51% of a budget. All the indicators are way below the mark. And the military veterans are the ones that are suffering. So the lack of performance of this department impacts directly on the benefits of the military vets. And there was of 235 million that was not spent. What happened to that money? Was it returned to Treasury? Was it rolled over as an additional money to this department to spend in the new year? In the first quarter, the performance still did not improve. It's only in the 60s, maximum 69%. It's unacceptable that this department continues on that trajectory to undermine our military base. It cannot be. So we say, yes, we have so many people that are going to benefit from the benefits. But who are those people? We're increasing the SRD to 1473 people that are receiving it. Who are these recipients when the majority of military veterans are not yet registered? So it's the same people that are in the system that allowed to continue because they got a number, they got a file number, they verified, and they continue to reap the benefits that are all available at the expense of the majority that are not registered on that database. And CISA has reported to us. They've been given a certain task in the DMV. But concerning the data issue and access and using it and developing a system to process it, they've not been asked to deal with the database at all. So they could resolve this issue very quickly because they got all the expertise and resources to do it. Yet DMV continues to lag behind and continue with incompetent people in the department to drive the database. How can the database still be in the 30%? How is it possible that we have now after so many years? It's unacceptable. There's no excuse for this. The database needs to be resolved as a matter of urgency so that the majority of our military vets get the benefits that are being rolled out. We cannot even discuss medical aid and extending it to the rest of the family. We cannot speak about burial support extending to the rest of the family. And we're speaking already here of bursaries that has increased so much and it's not been budgeted for. So where do we get the money for bursaries? Where do we get the money for the burials if it's beyond the projected amount? But yet we want to increase the number beyond the military vet because we are considerate and compassionate of the family, but we forget the majority of military vets and their families are actually not on the database, not verified, not registered. So how do they benefit? We only increase the benefits of those who are there. That is totally wrong. It's unacceptable. Before any policy changes, we have to ensure that everybody is registered and they are processed. And it's clear what they qualify for and what they don't qualify for. Everybody can't receive everything, so it must be clear what is the status of each and every military vet. So I've got a huge concern about this department. The turnaround team is not here. The money that has been underspent and continues to be underspent. And of course, I have a DG now, who's the acting DG. He's also the SecDef. DOD's got its own issues and problems and programs that it must execute. How does SecDef manage a DOD, which is now used as a lead department by the Performance Management and Evaluation Department, as a department of example to the rest of all other departments in government? And this department is settled with the worst department. The SecDef is given this responsibility of the worst department, while he's also the lead department, an example for the rest of the government department. How is that? So what is the position and progress on the DG position? And one that can actually drive and champion the cause of military vets and get you know, this department on a good footing and just pull up everybody by the straps and just get the socks up going and people running with the department. I don't see that passion for the military vets. People speak about it, but I don't see it in action. Underperformance is a clear indicator that our passion is not translated into real terms where people benefit. So there are very specific matters. I don't know if we should deal with the specifics, Honorable Chair, because this will come into the annual report and we will have another opportunity. It's a fait accompli. We're going to criticize this department for total underperformance for quarter four, and it will be validated. So I'm not going to spend too much time on quarter four, but what I'm looking at quarter one to see if there's been serious improvement based on what happened in quarter four, which is finished. Quarter one is now finished. We're moving into quarter two, and the only one that is overspent, there's only one item that's overspent. So it's bursaries, 91%. But that's understandable because bursaries are accepted by institution, Honorable Chair, at the beginning of the year. You might even arrange the prior year. Before you even, when you register, people ask. And that's why the department already allocated an amount. So we expect most money to be spent in the first quarter. That's a normal arrangement for bursaries. Nothing exceptional. So that is not actually overachievement at all. It's the institutional operation, how things work in the country and how it works at universities or colleges. So I am very concerned, Honorable Chair, that this department, when it speaks about top heavy, we may not have the right people in the top heavy positions. They're not heavy enough to drive this department. And I'm sorry to say that we probably need a DG that can get everybody together and just drive everybody to a common vision and common mission of serving the military vets how they should be served. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me thank the acting DG and the team for coming to us and present these reports. I must thank you very much for passing that information to us about the performance of the department. And Chairperson, I was listening. We're not dealing with one program. In your report, you were reporting almost with all programs, and each program is having its own challenges, and of which it put us where we are now, as you are indicating before us in your reports. Therefore, I cannot judge and say you are not performing. Cannot judge and say you are not giving a proper leadership in your work. Instead, I will say you are doing very well than before. Because in the past we had some challenges for acting in different positions. But today we spoke about only one acting, that is DDG, who's before us here and is an acting of DG. I should think to me it's an achievement. I'm not going to just to take this stamp up and lash everybody and punish you for various programs, sense work, or different challenges in your reports. Your performance really is showing a progress. You are getting somewhere, even if we still have challenges. But you can say, please arrest those challenges so that you can deliver more. Because what is important is that you must deliver more services. And there are people who are waiting for those services. The Defense Force. All those members, they want to be serviced. And the payment within 30 days. I just want to sense, Kachem, is there any mechanisms maybe put in place to make sure that this issue of 30 days or payment is arrested in order to make sure that these people are paid on time? And also, I want to hear more on the issues of HR. Because you said in the provinces there are lack of offices. Therefore you cannot fill those positions there. Can we hear more, maybe your plans of dealing with that matter? Because you must have sufficient staff in the provinces so that they can function properly. So that you can fill all those positions. But if you don't have an offices, really is a challenge that you cannot overcome as an individual or as a manager in the department. But Chair, in all what I can say, the department is moving forward without challenges that we have. But what we can do is that we must put more effort to make sure that we address those challenges. Keep it up, continue to work, and make sure that you lead the department. This is, in fact, all powers of leading the department is in your hands as administration. Must do all means and make sure that we address the challenges, except the financial challenges that is beyond your powers. If you don't have money, you cannot address your challenges. But in your work, where you are tasked to perform, you must perform as expected. Thank you very much.
That's honorable.
Of course, sir. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not going to be like my colleague on the left. My colleague says he's not going to take out a Shambok. I am going to take out a Shambok and put it on the table. I will then decide whether I use it or not. Indeed, it's true that the department is not there where we want it to be. We see it is trying, but I would say it's not trying enough. Because it's quite often that in all the meetings that you sit in, where presentations are made, they are one and the same issues that we nail you on, which I would say maybe now because there's a change, let me say, in the administration, maybe this time around there's going to be that one listening ear that is going to make all the ears to listen. I'm looking at the planned targets. To me it looks as if when you look at administration on your planning, on your targets, you've achieved or you've gone up to 60%, you see. But it looks as if more focus is put on administration, because when you look at the other targets, the percentage is lower than the administration. and the administration is actually supposed to be the driver of everything in the department. That has to look. So that says there's a problem in the administration. If you can just put more focus, not only on achieving putting the people there, but on them monitoring what they are supposed to monitor, so that they will be able to drive everything that needs to make this department to achieve. We need to get an improvement. Not all the time when you come here we'll talk about veteran post, there's no improvement and all those things. At least let's know that we've done this. And also time frames are key, you see. Time frames are very key. And on the vacant post, I see if also we can be finished with the details of the levels of the posts that are vacant, which levels are those posts, and the impact of those posts, because we want to make sure that now we are getting into a moving train, not just come here and say this post has been filled, this has not been filled. Let us know what are those levels, and so that we'll be able to oil our machine, to lubricate our machine, to be able to move to our destination. That's it that I wanted to go. The rest, as my colleagues have touched on it, be it it was touched in a harsh way or in a good way, but I'm sure they have listened and they're going to draw something out of that. To each and every problem, there is a solution. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Khoza.
Chair, I haven't used my shambo.
Okay. That's the comment I wanted to make. Today you haven't used your shambo. Honorable members, as an observation, I think even though it lies with this committee, one is that we must get the DG. Okay? Because that's the accounting officer. It's someone who must take responsibility. That's one observation, and which we as a committee must take it up to the executive. But we need to sort out this issue. Two, you could submit to us the list of those state agencies and departments that are slow in signing the service level agreements, so that then we call them as a community and say, what's your take? So it must be a good letter to write to us that this is what we have done to these departments, so that when we have them, we can reconcile the two. Because it must not end up like they haven't been, conducted to sign service level agreements, so the complaints will be unjustifiable. Three, I do say I sympathize with the department, DMV in particular, because you don't have authority. You are required to build houses, whereas you don't have authority to build houses. So you rely on another department. So I think as a committee, these are things that we must decide and take them up. Everything you rely on another department, that you do. So these are the things that I would like you to explain the pros or cons of ed loan versus NSFAS. Because that ed loan is low. NSFAS could be a buzzer, a good buzzer, a grant. So just explain that. But all in all, the message that the post, as my colleagues have said, have been filled, we are happy, except the issue of the DG. Because you don't have an accounting person whom we must take, we must use our shambles. We bring different shambles. I don't know what colors we have. I think the
Honorable Chair, as a department, we acknowledge comments that are made by members of the portfolio committee, and we endeavor to say we will address the issues raised. We also want to acknowledge the fact that the intention of the portfolio portfolio committee is to make us deliver on our mandate. So we take it as constructive criticism. Chair, the issue of the DG will be communicated to the minister so that it can be fast-tracked. We will communicate issues that are raised around that. I will allow UCFO to deal with issues that are around budget. There are few that you raised, and then I will allow program managers to deal with other issues.
Thank you, Chair. On issues around the budget, Honorable Nisi raised concerns in terms of zero spend against compensation. Currently, DMV has a challenge in terms of rolling out that benefit, and that's why you're seeing a zero spend. It's mainly due to the litigation matter. But however, that is will be partially addressed immediately with the sign-off of the SLA with AMSCO, because we can use them as an implementing agent by us referring our military veterans to access the service providers that will be appointed to AMSCO. Because at the moment, due to litigation matters, we cannot engage directly with other service providers until the litigation matter is resolved. With regards to burial support, yes, we admit that we have currently an issue with regards to the budget availability, but however, there are processes to shift funds within the program to cater for the shortfall. So that will be addressed immediately. With regards to the question from Honorable Sikosana around action plans in terms of the 80-day payment, yes, we have done the diagnosis. The non-payment is mainly related to a travel agent who is a TWF. Basically, we have a challenge in terms of how they submit invoices. We engage on a trip, e.g. we are in Cape Town now. Immediately when we do the booking, we generate an invoice. But that invoice is submitted 60 days later. 60 days later, when we validate the invoice, we find that supporting documents are not in order. So that issue has been diagnosed. As well as part of the problem was that the department had centralized financial delegations, meaning that there were certain people who were supposedly required to authorize invoices, but they were not given powers. So basically, we have now formalized the decentralization of financial delegations so that we fast-track the process of submitting an authorization of payments. So basically, all of that is now in order. So we will start seeing improvement as we move forward. Basically, I think those are the main areas that I needed to address on the CFO office. Thank you.
Please touch the issue of the rollover.
Okay. We had an underspend of 234 million last year. Basically, we, instead of doing anything that will be irregular in terms of spend, it was a management decision to declare that underspend back to National Treasury. But we've since applied for a budget rollover. As of yesterday, unfortunately, we got a response from Treasury to say our application did not receive a favorable consideration from National Treasury. So our application was declined.
General Market, can you deal with issues of HR and Program 1?
Chair, was an issue that was raised by Honorable Skosana in terms of office accommodation. One of the issues that we have embarked upon was already observed, that most of the things we don't go out and do ourselves. We have engaged with the public works to be able to get office accommodation in the provinces. So far, only 3 provinces have now been at least approved. That would be Mpumalanga, recently Eastern Cape and Gauteng, but the others are still ongoing. But as was indicated earlier on, one of the other issues that we discussed as the senior management, in line with the directive to relook at our top heavy structure on the Dessau, so that at least we can get more operational posts. What we have picked up is that, I mean, with the proposal that we are coming up with, which we are engaging with the DPSA, is to have more bodies on the provincial, in the provinces, which would then say that, I mean, even the, what we had previously put forward to DPW may have to be revised so that at least we can get more office accommodation. Because yes, we are very cognizant of the fact that, I mean, we need to have more protection posts than to have managerial posts. But we are trying to balance the two, that, I mean, service does not suffer whilst we are trying to restructure. Honorable Mnisi, what has happened in terms of the performance agreement? In the previous financial year, it was very woeful, but I think what you have seen currently was that at the end of the 30th of June, 74% of SMS members, in particular as the prescription, had signed their performance agreements. And we can really report that, I mean, when we come back to report as at the end of this current quarter, everyone will have signed. And if there's any exceptions, then normally, I mean, because with the acting DG, I mean, all that we have indicated is that now consequence management must be the order of the day if people do not comply. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping that when we do come back, we will be able to show that, I mean, it was 100%. In certain instances, we picked up just the administrative glitches that, yes, performance agreements were signed with the supervisors, but were not all sent at the time of compilation of the report to HR to be able to capture appropriately. In, with respect to Honorable Kosa, I think one of the issues that is coming out, especially now that we are not having acting, it has become much easier with the exercise that we are currently embarking upon with the DPSA. One of the shortages, I mean, which we have always reported here, was the lack or, I mean, the weakness in our monitoring and evaluation capability. One of the things that we have now looked into is to strengthen that, so that, I mean, from an administration perspective, all the plans, yes, we do have a planner who has only one person doing M&E, but what we are now seeing that from a profession perspective, if we are successful, because this is one of the tasks that has been assigned by the acting DG to ensure we finalize on this reorganization of the organization. One of the parts that is going to be very, very strong is M&E, because without it, we cannot drive our programs. Yes, we can have the plans, but if they are not monitored and evaluated to be seen to be working, then it becomes a challenge for us. And we are hoping that, I mean, come the next time when we come and report back to this committee on our work, we will be able to say these are the things that have now been put in place, and this is how things are now looking. When it comes to the current posts, there were certain posts that we had identified which would be within, in fact, the majority were within the service delivery branches. The caution that was indicated to us is maybe ensure that you fill those ones that you think will still be required in the proposed organizational structure. So it's just a slight exercise that I mean we can give you as is in terms of what should be, but what we are feeling as management and what we have observed is to try and make sure that I mean we just don't fill posts for filling posts, I mean for the sake of filling posts, and then coming back again and saying we're not able to get to where we need to be in terms of a service delivery. But I think my colleagues as well would be able to talk to that because we have tried to ensure that, I mean, the posts that are going to be filled are the ones that are going to actually be able to provide services to our military veterans. I think I've touched on those that require the, I mean, the administration program to talk to. Thank you.
Can I have?
Thank you very much, Chair. Especially Honorable Isaru. I think what you are saying is a guidance, and I think it's our second interaction in case of the issues that we raised. And what Honorable Skosana indicates is that there's a slight improvement because previously there was a lack of capacity in case of dealing with that. And I'm happy to say that you are able to indicate to some of the members that you find them disarray, and then you referred them to me where they indicate that we are also referred by Honorable Isao in case of assisting with regard to benefits. And they can indicate that there's quite improvement in case of the benefit because previously there was lack of leadership and also lack of you know, decisive decision in case of making sure that they benefit. So when we indicate with regard to their benefit, unfortunately I find myself in the core function of the department with regard to the dispensing of benefits. So if it's part of failure, then you know it's Mahabo's failing the department in case of making sure that military veterans are getting those benefits. The chair is right to say, you know, when we make our performance indicator, they should be smart so that we should not depend on the outside stakeholders. So we find ourselves as a department most of the time because of our mandate depending on the outside stakeholders, which creates a problem in case of the performance that we are expected to do. We have indicated and then tried, you know, to have mechanisms in order to be able to deal with those issues that are affecting us, especially when coming to housing. Housing is DHS that is mandated to do that. We have tried to negotiate with National Treasury to say we can also empower the military veterans through their contracts, building contractors, so that they can be able to build their own house. But through that mandate, it's only DHS that is mandated to do with the issue of the housing, dealing with the DHA in case of appointing contractors. So, but the mechanism that we use in case of getting AMSCO, it means all those stringent criteria and requirements at least will be shortened because AMSCO was able to do most of the housing with regard to the DOD. So it will be a better system that will be utilized so that we can short circuit in case of the delivery of the house. We have looked at that indicator of the housing because what it says, the act it says provide decent housing. It does not say build housing. But now we have cut that indicator into three to make sure that we deliver according to the number that we said we are going to deliver. If we look at that, we said 1,000 houses are supposed to be delivered, provide decent housing, not delivered. So now what we are saying, we have realized that military veterans, especially the war liberation war veterans, they did not get benefits. And most of the time when they came back, they were in the system. And then after the system, now they are retrenched, most of them. And then now their houses have been auctioned in numbers. But now the act provides us with that strength of saying, provide a decent housing. So now we are paying all those houses that are supposed to be auctioned. But we are first. We don't just pay where a person is going to stay for 3 months, knowing that DMV is going to pay for us. We are having psychologists, we are having social workers, where they go and determine and look at and also engage with the legal people. Just look at us where we are not wasting money. So that will be also counted within the provision of the decent housing, as it will be able to increase the indicator with regard to when coming to the provision of housing. We are also seeing some of the military veterans, before the department was established, they were having houses in these RDP houses. Now we've got different specification with regard to what we provide for the military veterans. The RDP house is 40 square meters. We are providing 50 square meters. Now we take the list and say, for provision of the decent housing, let's go and check this military veteran's headquarters. It's 40 square meters. He will indicate as to whether does he want extra room or does he want a garage or whatever it might be, or anything that can be able to improve the house to be decent. So that is what we are doing. It's going to be also added on the number with regard to the provision of the housing for the military veterans. Dilapidated houses of the military veterans. We request them to say, if your house is dilapidated, because most of them, they are very old, you find the house is worn up, and then there's water during rainy days or whatever it might be. We renovated that house so that it becomes a decent house for a military veteran. So that's the strategy that we have done, so that we can be able to cover ourselves in case of the performance indicator that we have designed. Because we need to be smart on that. Because if we say build 3,000 houses and we don't have a mandate to build, we'll never achieve that mandate. That is what I indicated to the department when I went to the department. It has been agreed, I think, also we need to amend our APP so that it suits us. So that when we fail, we should say the department is failing. We should not say the other department is failing us. So the situation that we are facing within DMV is that most of the time we'll point the other department, as the chair indicates. So now as management, we need to see to say, let's design what we can provide for a military veteran so that if we fail, our performance can be measured in line with what we are supposed to deliver to the what you call the military veterans. The compensation issue, Chair, it's very pathetic because most of the military veterans, they've been psychologically affected due to the incidents that were triggered during the previous system or during the era of apartheid. Now, when they're supposed to be compensated on that, we had an agreement or also procured some of the services of the ZIL. But unfortunately, because of some of the contractual issues that were changed in a way, we had to say, let's try to manage this thing. Unfortunately, it was right for the litigation. But what we are doing now, we are resolving to sit with them to look at how do we deal with that matter in order to resolve that issue. Because military veterans, before they get compensation, they should be assessed by the panel of the experts. Now, that panel were within the ZIL. But what we have done with the AMSCO now, AMSCO has kept them for the panel. The SLA that we have signed, now they are starting to assist us with the panel that can be able to deal with the issue of the compensation. We have hired in-house a clinical psychologist. What I said to her, I said, no, let's not wait to finalize the issue of the SLA with AMSCO. The files that we have, deal with those files, be able to visit those military veterans, you can give your own report. And ultimately, when we've got other four panel members, we can finalize the file and then a member can be able to get a compensation. So that, in case of the compensation, is a problem because we were relying on the ZIL that was procured, but because of the litigation issue, the issue is that there's a backlog. But we promise that in the second quarter, we will have resolved the issue of the litigation. Because we were specifically given a mandate to say, go and engage them. If it's out of the court settlement, deal with the matter. If it's not feasible, if you see facts, just analyze the matter so that you resolve the issue where the military veterans should not suffer because of some of the outstanding issues that we need to deal with in the department. Here, on the issue of the database, Honorable Husa, I just want to indicate that there's a much progress. The issue is just the issue of the systems that we should use, that when we are going to capture the names in the database, it should clearly indicate that these are really military veterans. Mm-hmm. We've got the group of the TSI. We have indicated to them when I arrived to say, look, TSI, when coming to the CPR list, you can't change it because it was a parliament decision. It was adopted. Just take it and put it aside to say, tell the list that you are going to put in the system. But when coming to different organizations, because you know we've got frauds there, I indicated that we have written letters. We have written letters to MK to say, this is the list that I've got in the database of your members. Verify this list, make sure that you return it back, and if there are certain notes, just indicate in red to say, yeah, you are not satisfied, and after that, we can be able to take that to the appeals board if the members are having a problem. We have also written to APRA. These are your members. This is the number of the 14,000 of your members. Just indicate if some of the members are not captured or some of the members are captured wrongly, are not supposed to be part of the database. We have given to them. Azangla also. For the statutory forces, it's simple because we go to the DOT and just get the files, the service files from them and be able to do that. We are 100% finished with regard to that matter. What happened now is for the TSI to give me a certificate to say they are satisfied. This is what we call a database, and then so that it should satisfy all the parties. So on the system, the TSI, because they were running ahead of us, they wanted to procure the system, but we said they are not operational. It's better to be able to sensitize CETA. It's us that we said we sensitize CETA. We don't want to come and say CETA is lying because it's our mother department. We want to say we are working with them. We are not delaying the process. The procurement of the system is underway. They've given me the system, but I indicated that we want the proper procurement processes to be followed. We don't want to come here to say, how did you procure these people? It should be proper. It should be an open competition, as we have indicated with the CFO. That is what we are doing. In the next quarter, we are going to report that the system is in place. We can be able to demonstrate the system and indicate that these are the military veterans that are captured on the system. The pros and cons with regard to any loan. Unfortunately, the word at the end, loan, is still indicate borrow. But what they are doing, we can say, ADU administration. They are only doing an administration. They don't give loans. What we have done is that when the department was established and then they said they are going to give an education support, we did not realize that we don't have any systems that can engage with the institution to make sure that we facilitate the payments quickly. But what we realize is that when we engage the service providers, we find that through the system where the students are applying for the loan, Edu Loan has got the system of engaging with the institution. Thus, we ask them that can you provide that administrative system to us while you are also giving those skills within DMV so that we establish a department that is going to deal with the payment. So that is what they are doing now. They've been contracted for 3 months and then they are going to do the system of facilitating the process. And how they assist us is that before we pay for the fees to any institution, we want to make sure that that institution is paying in line with the prescript of the country, is tax compliant, and then everything that needs to be followed in line with the law. It's a really registered institution. Now, before we do that, we rely on the National Treasury. We should take the account number to National Treasury for the verification, which takes much time in case of dealing with that verification. But for us, it was not a problem. But after, military veterans insisted that we also want to take our kids to the private school. When it was public school, it was a smooth transition, knowing that we just pay the school, we know it's within the data, National Treasury has got information about it. Now, since they indicated that we should open the private school, I'm telling you, it's a big problem. Even the private school, when you say, give me your entity form, we want to do verification, they refuse. They say it's better the parents to pay, and then after that, you as a department, you will pay the parents. What are they running away from? Is that they are not compliant towards this. And when you tell military veterans, most of the time you don't want to argue with them. It's people that say, do what I say. My kid must be at this private school. When you say it's not registered, it's where you get sometimes a faulty qualification after the kid has finalized this higher institution because of such private school. So that's the problem that we encounter. The NASPAS, I think, is a government entity that assists on the higher education. So now what we do is that for us to administer that, we transfer funds to the NASPAS in line with the number of students that we are having. And then NASPAS, as an administrative wing, they are situated within the institution that you are seeing. You go to UTUT, NASPAS is there. You go to University of Western Cape, the NASPAS is there. So the facilitation is quicker in case of the payment of the fees. So that's the difference between NASPAS and what you call EduLaw. The issue of the transport, I must admit, when I arrived in the department in April, I found there's an MOU. We are facilitating that MOU to the SLA. We have engagements with the Department of Transport. They are also having their own problems. You know, that's why we say if you rely on the certain department where they have got their own problem to come and account and resolve, it becomes a problem to us. But that one, even if we say relying on another department, we must finalize it because that one is a core mandate. We want to use the American system where the military veterans will have the card system, which will indicate how many times can he use the points to go to town or any other location that he want. So if we agree, we'll be able to agree with them, agree with Swane or Gauteng Metro or Cape Town Metro, that they will be able to use this card. This card, it will be on the point system, and when it is paid, it means they'll have to send us invoice. Through the points, we'll know that how many military veterans have used the transport system freely, and then as a department, we can be able to pay. But as we indicated for the last time here, is that when they presented, they indicated that in the second quarter, there will be a lot of improvements. Why a lot of improvements? Because a lot of things are at the deadlock. Because in case of accounting, you've got certain days that to deliver a portfolio of evidence. So when it finalizes, you find out some of the invoices with SEPs that are providing medical assistance to us, they have not yet finalized, but we are getting those invoices which will be able to improve when coming to the spending and also when coming to the performance. But what we want to indicate is that on the benefits, the backlog is only on the housing and compensation, of which we have put the mitigating factors that will be able to resolve the matter. By the second quarter, if things are not well, Honorable Usau, if they say come to the portfolio committee, I will just get an apology and please don't ask me where I am.
Thank you.
Okay.
To the question I asked about the ministerial turnaround strategy, what is the progress? Can we just have when that committee will present? Is the report already finalized? And the question of the DG's post, the advertising of the post, is that in the making? Has that been processed already? Yeah, I think those are the points that I raised that still have to be answered. There's two other points I'd like to raise. Should I raise it as well?
Yeah, just go ahead, because you'll be fast.
Okay, the communication strategy, that has been the one that I'm very worried about. We have expressed our concern as the committee that members, the military veterans, need to be informed no matter where they stay in this country, and all media must be used, local media, local radio stations, to reach them. At this stage, the so-called effective communication and marketing strategy is not really effective. And it's at 50% on the wheelchair. I still receive calls, particularly from the rural areas, where military veterans are saying, we don't know, we don't have the information. And that's very sad, that we make a promise, and we promise there will be road shows. Even we committed as a committee to go with the department on road shows. The road shows have not been rolled out. I mean, that's a promise made to our committee as well. So I just want to urge that this communication strategy, if it can be looked at and not be pitched at 50%. We need to invest our money so that our military veterans can access all the information and then know about the benefits and then know how to get to the benefits. Otherwise, we're not achieving the end of just serving the metro people and we go as close to the cities. So it will be a challenge. Even some of them express, when I get sick and I need to get to a hospital, how do I use the transport services? I don't have money to pay. How can I deal with my health? So it's so important that the transport policy also be rolled out for military vets to access opportunity, to access the benefits. Otherwise, they will just die in that terrible state they find themselves in. So that is a worry for me that we're not moving on that. And I just want, the concern that I have is that the vacancy rate is at 22%, 28 posts outstanding after collapsing, but we got 78 additional contract workers and 26 learnerships and interns, which means we're sitting with 237 people in the DMV, not 133 and going up to 169, 237. And we say this department can't perform. Thank you very much.
To you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. I will allow Uhok to talk, but before then, I want to make an undertaking that the department will respond and provide the report of the TSI in writing, and will also provide the report on vacant posts and the levels and the impact thereof. Will also provide the report on the list of agencies and departments that are that we depend on and that are impacting on us negatively. So the three will be forwarded to the committee later on. Over to you, Hawk.
And later on is when?
within 14 days.
Okay.
Within 14 days.
All right.
And then when you asked about the timeline, I was thinking about the week it's about to present. Thanks, honorable members, colleagues. First, maybe let's tighten up that part of the teaching. Our understanding is that it's at the level of the executive authority, given the fact that teachers, according to the laws of this country, like cabinet review. We do know that the minister is dealing with this issue as a matter of agency, but I would suggest that the control committee engages with this matter at that level. That's the first thing. The second thing relates to the issue raised by Honorable Ms. around the issue of cooperatives, which partly links up to Honorable FSL around registration and outsourcing. I'll deal with them combined. The one area with two different areas. The first one is that indeed, even ourselves, we acknowledge that that process was moving slowly. We interrogated why it was moving slowly. It had two facets. The one was many military veterans had not yet established cooperatives. And in the process, it then had to take us a step back to say, assist them to develop this business, whatever processes. It was therefore capacity building among military veterans, which then consume the time for actual physical location and registration. And then on the registration part, indeed, but notwithstanding that, we then are working on capacity in the department to be able to deal with this issue much faster. Secondly, we're also interacting with DTI and other agencies. I think the help of the department, the portfolio committee, will also come in handy to fast track the dependence on us in relation to capacity building for military veterans on issues of cooperatives, but also the quick registration so that they can take off the ground. I think we want to flag it, but also dealing with it administratively. And we're building capacity in that unit, which is located in the Employment and Stakeholder Management. On the aspect relating to the registration as outsourced, indeed it has come to our attention, and it's a matter that we're giving attention through the various levels of leadership. The emphasis that we're taking is going to be more focusing on using state agencies like DTI rather than outsourcing. Perhaps in the second quarter, which is an area we've been dealing with at EXCO and MENCO, which was our strategic sort of management processes, we'll be getting a report and I'm sure we'll finish you. But we've identified it as a problem, we've diagnosed it, we're actually working around getting around the solution there. The other area to me relates to directly to my competence, the communication issue. Indeed, we will acknowledge that it has not been to the level that we desired, and we would admit it upfront that it's an area of a challenge. But I think it's also fair that we give you the some of the aspects that have made us to sit at 50% and therefore not necessarily reach the desired aspects. One was that because of the organizational design that we had and which we were negotiating with DCSA, and maybe before we go into that, because we always believe structure is followed by strategy. No, strategy. Structure is followed strategy. We recognize that the Act as a mandating instrument and the requisite regulations were limiting the capacity of the department to fulfill its mandate adequately. And therefore, the restructuring is underway. The restructuring seeks to see our service delivery model must be able to ensure that we are very present at an international footprint, including closer to military veterans, regional level, not just provincial. Because some provinces have got huge spaces in terms of geographic space, and therefore, reach out becomes difficult. The minister is instructed, I can say it is on record publicly, two military veterans that the structure as designed is not making us be more accessible to military veterans. And that's why perhaps as members of parliament we find that rural areas are complaining. We are therefore addressing the issue not only of decentralizing service to provinces but to regions so that we're more closer, with emphasis on rural areas where military veterans are also located. But it's an issue that is also dependent on the extent at which our engagements, which have been very intense in the first quarter with the DPSA, to say there's disjuncture between structure and fulfillment of our mandate, and one of which is making sure we have personnel offices that can be decentralized. And to that extent, it also requires not only for us to look at our internal processes and capacity. Maybe let me indicate to you. The personnel we have in communication is 6 permanent members, only at headquarters, to service 278 municipalities where military veterans are, to service 9 provinces, to service national space. Surely, no rocket science there. It can't be tenable. What you try to do, notwithstanding the fact that we're not making excuses, was to say because we've got the provincial footprint now, which gives us a national footprint, we've trained our provincial coordinators, the first round took place in the first quarter, to say let's give them capacity on communication, managing media, marketing, and them so that they can be able to be our footprint, because we can't be at headquarters when military veterans require dynamic interaction and communication matters. It's a creative way of thinking out of the box, but that's not sustainable. Because then they have to do communication work when they are employed for stakeholder and other work. And we're navigating that route because we want to believe that we can't stand and say we are incapacitated and therefore nothing happens. The second round of training is taking place in the second quarter of others from also from the provincial coordinator. So we think in the interim we'll find a viable capacity solution or temporarily. But the long-term aspect of it, medium to long-term aspect, is also budget. I think the department has made the diagnosis to say we must up the budget for communication, because it has been realized that if we can then optimize use of radio, television, and them, we'll also require some budget. It's not all free as editorial. There's also editorial work that can be done. And I think we have diagnosed that problem will be coming with a solution when we report. Lastly, I think it will be fair to put record straight. We committed to undertake roadshows. As we speak, Chair, as we speak, honorable members, we've done 7 provinces. In those 7 provinces, what we did to us, that perhaps from a communication point of view, was a much more creative way, was that we not only went to share information with veterans in the invisos and call them in their numbers, but what we did was to bring services directly to them. We used those opportunities to put them in the database. We used those opportunities to make sure that they are advised on healthcare support, on education support, and it explains why there was a shoot up of certain provisions, SRD and that. It's not an accident of history. is because 7 provinces where we went accompanying the deputy minister himself, so that even the administrative and executive issues are dealt with immediately on the spot. And in fact, the feedback we are getting from military veterans, I can show you from across the spectrum, statutory and non-statutory, whether they appreciate these roadshows. So there is some success, notwithstanding the fact that we're not saying that it is adequate. We're acknowledging that a lot needs to be done. We've actually done our own self-critique. However, I think where the positive things, which even military veterans are acknowledging, I think it's important to consolidate them. Thank you very much.
Yes,
the point of the warm bodies vis-a-vis contract workers and learnerships will be answered by CEPO.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, it is a management observation. Honorable Isao has made a valuable comment in terms of headcount. It is a management concern as well to say we have a challenge in terms of the ratio of benefit delivery headcount versus administrative staff. Management has raised and put a plan together. Probably the starting point will be to do a skills audit, because we may have people who are placed where they don't belong, where they don't add value. So by doing a skills audit, we will ensure that people are placed in the role in the right positions. But secondly, it's mainly about change management, because there's an urgent requirement for re-engineering of the department. So to re-engineer, you need to apply some change management strategies. So it is part of the priority of management to engage on change management in terms of closing the gap, in terms of ensuring that the ratio of service delivery is aligned to the headcount that we have. So basically, probably in the next presentation, we'll be able to demonstrate progress on that. And as part of the process that we engaged on with regards to interaction with DPSA, we are also having a proposed structure which now tries to talk to service delivery versus headcount. So we will ensure that the process is well catered for through interaction with DPSA and National Treasury. Thank you.
Thanks very much to the department. I hope we'll get all the things that we need will be sent to us within 14 days as your commitment. And whilst you're still having acting DG, we also have an acting committee secretary. until you finalize the issue of the DG, you will also finalize the issue of the secretary. So send all the communication in the office of the ministry and SecDef. Please meet with the secretary, exchange numbers just today so that we get all this information. And honorable members, thank you very much for your contribution, and to the staff and everybody, the meeting stays adjourned. Thank you. Just two announcements that I forgot. An invitation to members to attend the Home Affairs Committee that deals with the Border Management Bill, 13th and 14th. Of September. Yes, at the same time, you remember there's an invitation to attend the AAG. So all we have to do is just to say these invitations. And those that are attending the AAG, they must please notify the committee so that we send the necessary, confirm the necessary attendance. those that are attending in Pretoria. Thanks very much.